Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Today's episode is part two, the final part of Marketing for the Now, episode 22. We hope you enjoy and we hope you gain some valuable insight.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Next, we have Mick Nayem, co-founder and chief business officer of Dapper Labs, the creators of CryptoKitties, Flow, and NBA Top Shot. Mick is committed to spreading blockchain education and creating delightful user experiences through partnerships with the likes of Ubisoft, Samsung, UFC, Dr. Seuss, and of course, the NBA. He joins us from Lisbon, where he was kite surfing this morning. Welcome, Mick.
Hey, great to be here.
Brother,
great to see you, Gary.
Mick, great to see you. You know, I've had the luxury more to interact with Roham, so I use his name a lot when I give you guys daps, pun intended, but just thank you. I think when these books are truly written, it makes me happy that you and him and others on the team will get incredible accolades for the advancements, both with Kitties, both with NBA Top Shot. These are signature moments in the short history of NFT landscape. And so congratulations. I mean, that's really darn neat. I personally very much am passionate about professional legacy. It's fun. It's what I play for much more than money. And I think you've achieved that in the way that at least I see the world evolving. So congrats on that. And also launching VFriends. Boy, do I have a lot of compassion for what you guys have from a technical challenge on these NBA Top Shot drops. And so it's good to have you here. I'd love to get an opening line from you on, as somebody who's really been here from day ones, at least on the, you know, on the Ethereum with crypto and building your own, like, what are you feeling? Like, does this feel like incredible external validation of like, shit, I fucking knew this was going to happen and we're OGs. Does it feel surreal? Have you not even been able to focus on that because you're in such hyper growth and you've raised all this capital that you're just focused on executing? What are your feelings? I mean, this kite surfing is probably a requirement just to balance out all the shit that's going on, right?
The kite surfing is meditation. So yeah, super figured. Important. Yeah. What are we feeling? I think it's just so cool to see a new generation of creatives come into the space, get it, and be excited about it. And so for me, I'm just kind of excited about what you're doing, what other people are doing, and kind of try to peer outside my window and see like what's cool that's coming next. Because I think it's going to be things that we never imagined. And for me, like beyond just like making sure that we continue to do the things that we need to do to make the NBA Top Shot community happy and to grow Flow, I'm just really excited about what's next and what amazing people are gonna do. I think what I love about NFTs is that it's unlike before, where it was really just financial people getting into blockchain. Now we have this new types of people with completely different ideas of what decentralization means and what it can do. And so I just think we're gonna see a huge amount of innovation over the next couple of years.
Talk to me about when you knew Top Shot was, whoa. I got the luxury through an intro from Fred Wilson to Toko Roham, and you're probably aware of this, you know, and you guys, and in July, and I'm like, oh, and I was just so deep in like making sure VaynerMedia was gonna get through COVID. But yeah. I remember thinking like, ooh, this is, you know, obviously, because, and then, I mean, in my wildest dreams, and I'm usually good at this shit, I could have never thought 0 to 100. I mean, I thought I had enough time to do more stuff with you guys in maybe like for 2023, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you must have been surprised, or maybe not, which is why I'm asking. It happened so fucking fast and so big. Two questions. Am I right in the assumption that it happened way bigger, way faster than you anticipated? Comma, because that's an easy yes, no. When did you actually know and like literally have that moment with yourself and then communicate to your co-founders, yeah. Oh shit, fuck, yes, wow.
I think there are like two moments. Like, well, no, we never expected this. Like, we thought it was gonna be a grind and we were gonna grow slowly but surely. And I still think that it's still a grind. There's a million people who but the moment for me was when I saw a video tweet of Shaq saying, Top Shot this. That's when I was like, oh, okay, this really resonates.
This is becoming a verb. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like a tweet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. It's becoming a verb and just like, it's authentic. Like players like this. And I think that was really important.
I love that. What did somebody in your real life, like a parent or a friend or a relative, realize you were, that this had happened? When was, I love that story too. Yeah. I was curious.
Well, I mean, for me, it was really interesting. When we did, when we created CryptoKitties, I was trying to get all my friends to buy CryptoKitties. And I couldn't. I they would look at me, like they'd look at the cats and then they're like, well, this is complicated. And I couldn't get it. I've had, for me, it was, I guess in February, I have two friends who were telling me, I just trade Topshot now. Like I'm at work, but all I do is trade Topshot. And that's when I was, when I realized like, okay, there's something here. People that are my friends who don't care about blockchain know way more about the product that I'm like contributing to building than I do. And that's what got me really excited.
What's on your mind on the macro space as somebody who has gone from Kitties to the NBA Top Shot, two of the most substantial projects in the history of NFT land? What are you, besides your optimism and excitement to see new stuff and people innovate, which makes sense, anything nuanced?
I think the important part is really kind of going back to it and thinking like when you're creating a project is how is this going to be valuable to your community, to your users, rather than just saying, hey, I can put pictures, tie them to an NFT and sell them. And so you did that with VFriends. I was just on a call with a great designer who's got ideas around smart contracts that help offset carbon emissions. It's just really thinking about, I mean, for us with NBA Top Shot, for us, it was like, how do we make a collectible that's 10 times better than a physical one? And that's how we ended up with video, is just capturing those moments. It's just really like needing this for people to have this focus of, if I'm putting something out there, why is it more valuable for my audience? And how am I going to keep it valuable for that audience?
I love it. What, for the 101s, the day ones, in this final minute that I have you, and I appreciate your time, what's a good place to start? How do you answer that question?
Oh,
looking at this, they're excited, they feel it. You know, by the way, let's talk about, you know, Ethereum or Top Shot, like these market, early means volatile.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first place to start is engage with a product, engage with a couple of products, play with them. As you mentioned earlier, don't go crazy and spend all your money on it, but like test it, find what you find attractive with one or another. I like playing around with the NFTs that are kind of game related, like F1 Delta Time and stuff, because I learn a lot around like what it means to stake an NFT, et cetera. And so just playing around with as many different primitives, just go deep in the rabbit hole, read, but also play and interact with it.
Taste it,
see what's wrong with it so that you can come up with better ideas.
I appreciate it, my man. Congratulations. What a run. Keep going.
Thanks.
Next, we welcome Matt Fortnow, an entertainment lawyer turned tech entrepreneur. Matt co-founded Commissioner.com, the web's first fantasy sports service, which he sold to CBS Sportsline for 8 figures. As a copyright expert, he co-authored the Bible of the music industry, This Business of Music. And 6 years ago, Matt dove into the world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, creating the official NFTs for iconic brands such as the Three Stooges. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. Gary, nice to meet you.
It's a real pleasure, my friend. Why don't I give you the floor for your, having a beer with a buddy or a relative, and they're like, what's this NFT thing? Riff for 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Like, what's an NFT? I also get a lot like NFT is a scam. I hear that a lot. I saw on the Daily Show recently, they did a whole thing about NFTs being a scam. And I would just like to say that NFTs are the opposite of a scam.
I agree.
Like the physical art world is a scam with all the forgeries and the fakes and the manufactured provenance. And even the collectible world, there's been a history of forgeries and fakes and other types of scams and doctoring of cards. But with NFTs, it's the opposite of a scam, because with the blockchain technology, you can easily go on the blockchain on Etherscan and see who the creator of the NFT was, the entire provenance, chain of title from owner to owner, and it's all transparent. So for anyone who keeps telling me NFTs are a scam. It's the opposite of a scam.
Matt, the reason they say that, and we saw it with anything that gets uber hot, expensive, fast, right? Internet companies, you were there, right. You know. Yes. But let's talk about one that played out in a way that is an interesting one, Beanie Babies.
Right.
Right? You heard that, and what was true in that was it, because the people didn't, if I ran Beanie Babies, Matt, if Beanie Babies was mine, right. I believe today that Beanie Babies would be talked about the way that Hello Kitty, Pokemon, and Disney characters would, because I would have developed them. And had I would have and developed them, I believe Beanie Babies, which, oh, by the way, are selling on eBay right this second for a lot more money than people think, just not the ludicrous price.
Right.
When I know exactly why people are saying it. On the flip side, I couldn't agree with you more. When people actually play, by the way, the internet, this was all, internet websites were a fad. That's all I heard. Gary, right. It's a fad. And for me, it was, this is going to completely change the world. I'm completely convinced that everybody will live in a fully encompassing NFT world in a decade. And I don't make predictions like this and end up being wrong. I just don't. I understand humans too much. I think this is going to be too big. And I'm excited to be in this time. Because I invested in Ethereum in 16, 17 because I believed in what they were building for this moment. I just didn't spend my time until it became more consumer centric, which I think you have done really well in your career. And I think that's why we're here right now. It's now in the dawn of consumer centricality, right? Can you give me my Oculus real quick? Like, Matt, I don't know it's right over there, but I don't know how much you're playing with VR yet or at all.
But actually, I'm involved in a company, 3Data. They're doing VR data visualization.
This is what Ethereum was 7 years ago for me, five years ago for me, right? I know this is coming. It may not be this clunky by the time it comes to this moment in 7 years, but it's coming. I just won't talk about it a lot, but boy, oh boy, when it comes, that's all I'm going to talk about. And I think we are in the beginning of it, Matt. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, this, like Mark was saying earlier, I feel we're at 1995 with the internet. And there was a big FUD stage with the internet, like Mark was saying, don't enter your credit card. There's a lot of fear in the media, even that movie, The Net, with Sandra Bullock instilling fear. So a lot of people still have that fear. They're afraid to dip their toe in the water. So what I tell people is just do it. Make some NFTs. Get in the game and learn and make mistakes and just, you know, have fun with it, because NFTs are here to stay. And there's a huge future for NFTs. I mean, coming, you know, as a lawyer, I can see, you know, NFTs for IP, like copyrights, you know, for musicians, not just to make money by, you know, selling songs, but they can make NFTs of copyrights, and people can own part of their copyrights. And it's also a way for people to invest in the future of an artist that they believe in, like a musical artist. Like if an artist wants to raise some money to either produce some songs, they can actually issue NFTs of their copyrights, which people can be a part of their community, but also actually potentially earn income in the future from these copyrights.
It's my number one thing that I keep telling. You know what my number one go-to on that is, Matt? Imagine you were one of the first 200 fans of Nirvana.
Exactly.
Went to the coffee shop or bar, bought one of their NFTs, owned 0.1% of Teen Spirit, and now sit every day and watch Spotify send you ungodly levels of money.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't wait I'm going to do that, Matt. I'm going to get very involved in music for that reason. I've been so right. I'm good. You know, Mike Boyd and I spend a lot of time together guessing which hip hop artists are going to pop. And we have a great track record. The fact now that in 2 years, I know that they're going to be doing that. I'm going to be buying up. It's awesome that I was right about Gunna and DaBaby. It would be way more awesome if I was getting 1% of all the royalties on Spotify right now.
Right. And it could be done for movies. If you're an independent filmmaker and producing a film, you can issue NFTs, which are going to be collectible as well. But it's a way for people to invest in the film. And if the film does well, then you can get a nice return from that. And even imagine like playing fantasy sports for real. Like you can securitize part of someone's income and turn that into an NFT collectible. And pretend, like if you have a draft, a rookie draft, we have a rookie draft every year for our dynasty league. So imagine like do really having a rookie draft and thinking, you know, what players are going to be big and potentially earning income from that in the future.
What's either one you could take. What are you most convicted about? 100% it's going to happen. And what are you still most hazy about as you're strategizing in your mind? You're like, I don't see what's going to happen. Maybe this could, you know, that those two things.
Well, I'm pretty convinced that the whole NFT copyrights are going to happen. Now, the only issue are all the legalities with the SEC have to be worked out as far as, you know, securities. But I don't really see that as a problem. I see that working out. And there could be specific exchanges for securitized NFTs. So as far as, you know, being hazy, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, up in the air, you know, with NFTs. I mean, mainly like these, you know, inflated values that we're seeing. But I mean, I think everything is going to even out. And like in the internet days, we had crazy values of companies that didn't even have any revenue model.
It had a name.
It was insane.
Had a name.
They had a name, and that was it. So the cream, over time, the cream, you know, Google, Amazon, you know, rose to the top, and all these companies that was just vaporware fell to the wayside. And I think we'll see that happening, you know, with NFTs as well.
Have you been buying NFTs?
Yeah, I've got a few NFTs, but I haven't really been much of a collector yet.
Are you more focused on the shovels and picks, and you're worried about the gold later?
Yeah, exactly. I'm more like, you know, I did the, you know, the Three Stooges NFTs. I said, let me just jump in the game, make some mistakes and learn from that.
Who had the IP to that? Who owned that?
C3 Entertainment.
Was that a fun process? Did you learn a lot?
It was fun. I mean, I'm a huge Stooge fan, so it was just really fun from that standpoint.
I can tell by the, you're copping one of the haircuts. You know?
Thanks. Matt,
just for fun, we got 1 minute and I feel like we've given a lot of value. Why did you fall in love with the Stooges?
With the Stooges?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was watching them as a kid growing up and it was...
It just hit?
It just hit. I mean...
Was your dad or grandfather or uncle or mom or aunt, did somebody love it in the family?
No, it's just, it would used to be on, like, used to be on every weekend. And I just... that slapstick stuff is, I mean, like, I also love, you know, like, you know, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, you know, all those like physical comedy guys.
Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thanks so much, Gary. Great to meet you.
Next up, we have G Money, a cryptocurrency investor and NFT collector. In January of 2021, he purchased CryptoPunk number 8219 for $150,000. A record sale at the time, sparking the parabolic rise in CryptoPunks. Best piece of advice that G-Money received was to find something he'd do for free and then find somebody to pay him to do it so he wouldn't feel like it's work. Welcome, G-Money.
Hey, how are you?
G-Money, how are you?
Good, excited to be here.
Same. Let's go right to the thing that I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about. What is it in the early crypto culture that led to a lot of people doing what you're doing now, which is stay behind the scenes, use some of their art or characters to be their face, keep their, you know, anonymity? Like what do you attest that to?
Well, I think a lot of it, right, is the self-custody of wallets, right? So it's like, you know, if for instance, like I have my money in a bank, like it's really hard for somebody to access it because of KYC and AML laws. Right? But if I'm walking down the street and I self-custody my own assets, like, you know, OPSEC is more of an issue, right? Which is why you generally find people in crypto they care about their privacy way more.
Do you feel like in this last year, you're noticing that change a little bit and people are coming out in a different way and you can feel that consumer shift in the ecosystem?
Where people are less concerned about privacy?
Yeah.
I think people are, yes and no. Like, I mean, I think you just have the range, right? It's a scale of gray, right? Like some people, you know, I've spoken to people that are anonymous that, you know, will disguise their voices, right? Like it's, you know, everybody has like their range of what they feel comfortable with. But I think as you gain more adoption of crypto and NFTs, like your most people will be public for the most part.
And you feel as people get more educated and as technology keeps making, you know, non-custodials quote unquote safer or advancements that maybe we can't even think of right now that will make it different, you think that will evolve over time?
Yeah, for sure, right? Like the tech will get there. Like I always use the example of like, you know, I'm in my late 30s, right? Like I started playing video games and like Super Mario Brothers was my first game, right? But that's not the final iteration of tech. People just keep innovating.
Correct. Jumani, what do you think everybody here, aspiring investors, done well in this space as an NFT collector, trader? Give me the G-Money bullet points. Give me the 3-minute riff of things that everybody here should consider, things you've learned.
With regards to investing in the space?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, you know, like just buy stuff you like, you know, be to your point that you just brought up, right? Like if you really like a creator or some sort of creative and you're buying their early works, you're, you know, and I do this all the time myself where it's like, if I find somebody new and I want to support them, right? Like that's the best way to do it is just to support them, buy literally what they're making so that they keep on doing it, right? And like, you know, it, and to your credit, like, you know, you've been talking about this for years where it's like, at some point you'll find your audience, right? And you just have to keep on creating and, you know, your fans will find you. And that's kind of the beauty of the internet, right? Is like, you're no longer have to be in just one physical location in order for people to find you, right? Like you're just out there on the internet and everybody will find you.
What's been most surprising to you this year with this space?
How fast and quickly it grew. You know, like I bought this punk, you know, my ape in January, the first week of January. And I joked that like, I wanted it to be the first punk to be sold at Christie's or Sotheby's. And I thought it was like 5 years out, you know, let alone, you know, 5 months away that we saw punk sales going up at Christie's, which I thought was incredible.
What did you see that make you, just to educate everybody, what did you pay for this and what's your assessment on what you think the fair market value is of this punk?
And then
remind everybody how few apes there are in the scheme of the 10,000 crypto punks.
Okay, so yeah, so there's 10,000 crypto punks. Of those punks, there are 9 aliens, 25 apes, and 88 zombies. And so of those, that means they're rarer within that 10,000 set. So, you know, my first purchase was a zombie in December. And then I was stalking the apes in general for like a month. And, you know, like the thing that stuck out to me was on the first day of quarantine last year, I bought a PlayStation because I figured that was the only way I was going to survive. And, you know, I download Fortnite. I wanted to hear like everything that was going on. And I start playing with my friends and their nephews. And these kids are like 10, 11, 12 years old. And they're like, hey, what skins did you buy? I'm like, skins, do they give me special powers? And they're like, no. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to buy any skins. Fast forward, you know, a couple weeks, I'm buying all the skins I can. And this is before I knew what an NFT was. And I was like, you know, there's going to be a massive super cycle of digital asset ownership. And I just was like, I don't know how to capitalize on it yet, right? Because we're still in like the and it, like once like I discovered what an NFT was, and that was like in the late summer, early fall, and I'm hanging out in Discord, on Twitter, in Telegram, and I'm realizing, wow, like my profile
is
skin, right? It's like, you know, we're quote unquote in the metaverse right now, you know, because we're in these communities, right? Because it's like, what is a metaverse, right? Like we all think that it's going to be this VR, you know, really submersive thing. And it's coming for sure. But like, we're living in the metaverse now.
So I mean, like, that was what I thought about social media.
Yeah.
I thought that was the metaverse. And I feel like you couldn't have been more right. To me, what was happening in Fortnite, NBA 2K, Madden. By the way, you know, when it really hit me was Farmville.
Yeah.
Like there's a video of me in 2011 talking about virtual goods. And I was like, cause that was when I was really studying Facebook behavior. I was like, people are buying virtual fucking sheep.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, and you know, when I realized that, and it's almost like the consumerism of the Western world, right? Where it's like, people are conditioned to be like, oh, I'm going to buy this because this, you know, whatever this product is, what does it convey about me as a person, right? And it's like in the digital realm, you're still going to see the same things, but it's just like you get a little more, uniqueness to it, right? Because
it's also a tradable, interchangeable asset.
Yeah.
Which right? is like incredible. Think about that. Everybody, when some parent, if you're watching right now, when you bought all those Power Rangers for your kid 20 years ago, you eventually sold those 5 years later when your kid got out of Power Rangers in a garage sale for $20 to someone like me who then sold them for $200 on eBay. With where we're going with NFTs, when your kid gets out of those NFTs, you're gonna trade them on the open marketplace potentially for a profit.
Yeah, it's incredible, right? Like the upside, like the implications of it are insane. And like once I like wrapped my head around that, I was like, wow, like there's no doubt in my mind that this is the future.
Are you excited about the smart contract and the things that can be attached to the digital asset? Have you been thinking about that? Obviously I cared about that with VFriends. Have you been looking at that? Is that in part of your strategy as you think about what is interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I love about NFTs is that everything in the real world is an NFT, right? So like that to me, when I realized that, I'm like, this is not a fad, this is here to stay. So using that framework, right? It's like, you can be as creative as you want, you know, like to your credit, like what I loved about your launch was like the inclusion of, you know, these real live events that people throw, there's a ton of value on that. Right. And,
right.
you know, like, it's not just like, hey, I'm going to come in here and
gee, for me, it was, let me do something super valuable in the upfront so that everyone's patient, because the way I'm going to build out these characters, I want my original OGs to really win, but I don't want them to have to wait because there's so much flexibility. And I mean, we just saw it, right? Yesterday was a wild day. Right. Like, you know, I want it. And so that's how I thought about that. And there's a million other ways people are going to think about things because of that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's the thing is when people come to me with like new ideas, they're like, oh, hey, like, you know, what do you think of this? And like, how do you suggest I do this? I'm like, you could be as creative as you want. And then you just have to figure out how to work that into a smart contract, right? And that's like the beauty of where we are at this point in like the tech cycle.
You might not have one, but in the last minute, I'm gonna ask you for it. Any project that you think is emerging that's very low price that might be a good entry point for some of the, you know, obviously punks that are out of price range for many, anything capture your eye that's just launched that might still be affordable for many?
Right now,
nothing yet?
There's nothing that I'm really eyeing. I mean, you know, I personally, like with regards to punks, like I'm a huge punk maxi, as you know, as we've discussed in the past, but like,
me too.
You know, if you can get a fractionalized version of a punk, that's a good way to get punk exposure without having to, you know, drop a large sum on it.
G-Money, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Next, we welcome People Pleaser, a digital artist known for her collaborations with various DeFi protocols. Recently, her work on the Uniswap V3 animation raised over 600 grand for charity by selling it as an NFT and subsequently inspired the formation of Pleaser DAO. Her life motto is loosen up, homie, and she lives by the best advice she got, have good ideas, be skillful, and treat people nicely. Mm. Welcome, People Pleaser.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How are you?
Not bad. It's good. A nice day in the city today. So.
That it is, which makes me happy. So why don't you give everybody a little 1 minute on you and kind of your journey, 2-3 minutes on your NFT journey.
Yeah, definitely. I started selling NFTs probably like last summer, but nothing very serious. And my claim to fame sort of was, so I was all this time like collaborating with a bunch of DeFi protocols, which are decentralized protocols. Anybody doesn't know what that is. It's pretty big in crypto. And I was just making sort of animations for them because that's what I have been doing as my job for a long time. I was working at like Blizzard before on their cinematics and stuff. And yeah, I just thought that with my skill set, I could bring some fun to the crypto space. And then sort of my claim to fame within the NFT space was back in March, I had made this animation for Uniswap V3. And then sold it as an NFT, and then it sold for 310 Ethereum, which the whole amount was pledged to supporting anti-Asian hate charities and nonprofit organizations.
Good for
and
you.
Here we are today. But what was cool about this case was that a specific DAO was formed to buy the NFT. There was a bidding war at the end.
Why don't you educate everybody on this incredible new organization called DAOs?
Yeah, so decentralized autonomous organizations, aka DAOs, are essentially basically these groups of people who have the same sort of like goal, and you can use blockchain technology to pull money together and make decisions together on the blockchain.
So for everybody, you know, just a group of people, they all pool together, they have their rules, and then they buy together. And it's been a really cool and interesting phenomenon for sure in this space. What was your expectations for how much your 310 ETH project would have went for? No bullshit, don't go humble, but don't go making something like genuinely, what was your gut?
I always go by ranges. And so I have like a worst case scenario and best case scenario. And in my head, worst case scenario was single digit ETH. And best case scenario was over six figures in terms of US dollar value.
So you were just thrilled.
Yeah. Basically, if it was like 100K, I would have been over the moon. So obviously, I did not expect that.
Did the success of that lead to a ton of new opportunities for you?
Yeah. I mean, I had always been sort of very engaged within the DeFi crypto community anyway. So I think it definitely opened up a lot of doors in terms of publicity, or maybe more on the NFT side of things. But I'm never gonna abandon my DeFi crypto community.
Of course, it's your community.
I resonate with and I love. But yeah, of course, I'm grateful for all the doors, and I'm excited to see where the DAO is headed, actually. So,
what are you most curious about from a consumer or human behavior thing? So obviously, the DAOs you just mentioned, right? DAO, everybody who's in the chat. There we go, Sebastian. Thank you. What else has really intrigued you in the last month or two or three? Like, oh, that's wild. Or something like, I still don't have it figured out in my brilliant head how this is going to play out.
To be completely honest with you, when the whole Pleaser DAO thing formed, I actually didn't understand the scope of it myself. But so then I looked into it a little bit later and why people thought it was a really big deal. And essentially, I mean, I think first Vitalik was saying about something about how NFTs can further instantiate its own legitimacy as an asset by committing to donate some of the revenue to social institutions that align with people's values. And that's sort of very in line with what Pleaser DAO is doing. And also that we're living in sort of like an age where decentralized internet communities that figure out how to organize themselves are really important. And the reason why Pleaser DAO is so intriguing as well is because they're one of the most organized entities that are just like, they've gone on to purchase the Snowden NFT for 2,224 Ethereum, and then recently the Tor Project NFT that was also $2 million. And they are very, very organized. It's basically like the dream of Silicon Valley or something. They can like pull funds really quickly and yep. act quickly and expand quickly as well. And I think DAOs actually sit a level above NFTs. So they can not only own NFTs, but perhaps maybe even like create NFTs and do a lot of other things too. It's really transformative, I think. And so you can think of an NFT as a piece of digital media, but a DAO could actually be an entire company in that sense, right? A media totally, company.
Totally, 100%. What do your normal friends think about all this shit?
Most of my normal friends don't know about my crypto identity or even my-
Is that true?
Yeah.
So your normal friends, or at least the outside of your most core friend group, actually have no clue.
Yeah, I don't think they have any clue.
Do you love that?
I kind of like to keep it a little bit separate, yeah.
What about when one of them finds out? Like, which I assume has happened at this point. Has that been fun?
Yeah, sometimes. And definitely, you know, I'm always grateful. I think it's mostly that I find it beneficial to educate people about like cryptocurrency or the blockchain. I mean, in the past, I didn't talk to people about it because I just assumed that they weren't interested. But now with NFTs blowing up, I'm seeing more and more of my real life friends actually just genuinely gaining interest in this. And so they would reach out to me and be like, can you tell me what an NFT is? What is this about? And that part is exciting. So if they genuinely want to learn about themselves, then I'm always happy to talk to them.
Why don't you, while we got you for 3 minutes, why don't you break down DeFi in your most 101 layman's terms? Because we're not going to touch on that too much here, but obviously I'm aware of your strength and being part of that community. I think it could be valuable for somebody to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, so DeFi, also known as decentralized finance, is basically a sort of entire new community and form of finance that has been made possible through cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. And most of the protocols are either using just technologies that are available that through either like yield farming, or you can take out loans. There's all these things that you can do, which are concepts that were already familiar in traditional finance. But I would say to sort of explain it like I'm five, it's like it's now being done quicker and like way more automated because of the technology and because of the software that's like available, or sorry, with the code and everything that makes it possible. And so it's kind of like traditional finance, but on steroids. So there's a lot of really lucrative yields and APYs that, for example, you know, traditional banks really pale in this comparison because they're offering like 0.02% APYs on your the money that you put in a bank or something. But in DeFi, anything, you know, around like the 8 to 10% is very commonly seen. And yeah, it's just a way for people, you know, even if I think a lot of NFT artists can benefit from learning about this as well without getting into
make money on your money.
And even if you're lazy, you know, and you don't want to do like a bunch of farming or like really get into it, you can park your stable coins or Ethereum or even Bitcoin, whatever you want, like on specific DeFi protocols and just earn interest off of that, you know, as opposed to having it do nothing. So highly encourage artists to look into it, especially if they're earning ETH now on their NFTs.
What do you think's next for you in this last minute? Give me a sneak preview of something you're potentially plotting.
I mean, I love making videos, so I just love the storytelling aspect of it. So I would love to experiment with maybe longer form videos, maybe even, I don't know, short films, movies, who knows. But
for you.
Yeah, I mean, we might even see a future where NFTs could be an animated movie or something. You never know. And I also am excited about the metaverse. And also excited about what PleaserDAO is up to. You know, I really like the ethos that they're going for and everything that's happening. And by the way, they're throwing a party in Brooklyn this Saturday. So if anybody who's watching this is interested in coming to hang out,
Have you shared it on your social on this account?
You can find me, you know, on Twitter or on Instagram. I'll probably be sharing details when we know more, but it's going to be in Brooklyn on Saturday. Come hang.
Thank you for the invite. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see you there. Next, we welcome Jim McNellis, a cryptocurrency miner and founder and CEO of NFT42, a platform that builds applications leveraging blockchain technology with a specific focus on NFTs. Jimmy's inspiration is Michael Jordan's story as he tells it. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, lost almost 300 games, and missed 26 of game-winning shots. I failed over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you, Andrea.
Jimmy, I love you so much as being my true partner in crime and V-Friends, but the fact that Michael Jordan, I mean, we've started this interview off in a very difficult manner. Jimmy, so everybody's watching, if you go to vfriends.com right now, which I would love, if you scroll all the way down to the site, on the bottom right-hand side, you'll see that it is powered by a platform called Nameless, which is an incredible platform that Jimmy and his crew at NFT42 have built out and are building out. And, you know, I bet my wagon and hitched my wagon to it and think anybody who's got an ambitious NFT project should consider, from the biggest brands in the world. Jimmy, why don't you tell the story of VFriends from your perspective and intertwine your OG-ness, your blockchain gang, your ethos? You know, I think there's a fun 5-minute story of VFriends that can be told where you can intertwine both what was interesting. We haven't even been able to fully recap yet, so I'm almost being selfish here. You know, what was interesting about that, things you didn't expect, or other things that will bring value. So what's the story? And then more importantly, from your perspective, not mine, and the things that were challenges and exciting things and things people should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool story and a really exciting one for me personally. So thanks for having me on today, giving me an opportunity to share. So you know, it was a few months ago, I guess, you showed up in some Discord channels like CryptoPunks and the like. And then I remember you joined a smaller group with a few of us and we're hanging out. And then one day I had a DM from you like, hey, Jimmy, it's Gary Vee. And then I think you got my number and I got a text from you a few days later, like, let's talk. So we got on the phone and we talked about NFTs and I was really impressed right off the bat. Like, you had done your homework, you know, you'd already owned a bunch of punks at that point. I don't think I knew that, but like, you had done your homework. And, you know, we talked about what we had just done. We had raised a round and we're building out this platform. We didn't have a name at the time. Actually, the fact that it turned out to be nameless, there's a bit of irony in that because we changed names every week for over a month. But then we spoke and you cared a lot about making sure that your project was viewed as a legitimate project and that you weren't taking any of the shortcuts that would net in the tokens being deemed as not legitimate in any way or that they could be interrupted. You wanted everything to be on chain, which is like kind of like my mantra and I preach it. So, you know, you and I connected on that immediately. And for me, it was amazing because I think I shared with you at the time when I started my last business in 2007, and growing through that Web2 phase, seeing you as somebody who was teaching people how to go out and build their brand and build their businesses around these new technologies and everything else. And I was seeing you come into NFTs, I was like, oh, wow, here he goes again. It was Web2. And now here he's going with Web3. And now I get the opportunity to actually work with you to do this. Like, what an amazing journey. And so it was off to the races pretty quickly, right? You know, you knew what you wanted to do. You knew you had a lot of work to do. We told you what we could help with and what you needed to do. And you went out and did it. And we worked really hard to keep up with you and to follow in your wake for the next, it was about 7 or 8 weeks, I think. And I think we both learned a lot.
Jimmy, what surprised you the most? Today, at this exact moment, it could be any part of the cycle.
What surprised me the most was how well you did onboarding new people into the NFT and blockchain and Ethereum world and teaching them how to use wallets and how to set up their MetaMask and what Ethereum is and how to buy it off Coinbase and why it matters. Like the metrics that I've looked at like over the last week, you know, obviously very impressive, 10,500 ETH, more than that. We saw that the withdrawal function worked on the contract today, so we're all really excited about that. When I checked several days ago, it was over 4,200 people who had GV friends in their wallet. That's 4,200 unique owners out of just over 10,000 tokens. That's a really high ratio of new people in the space too, but also tokens to owners ratio for a brand new project. It's a very well distributed supply. And look, I helped a lot of people on these launch days with their wallets individually, and I had to teach them how to actually do a custom nonce in their wallet, which is a really advanced thing. And many of them had zero as their nonce number, which means it was their first transaction. And these people figured it out. You're really smart. You have a really smart community. Like, everybody really is educated and they take what you say seriously about educating yourself and know those 50 hours because I'm explaining these things and they're picking up on it very fast. So really, really, really impressed with the community and the ability to bring new people into this new technology. You're giving them an opportunity now on the ground floor. They're going to own VFriends and expand through that and make new connections within those communities and find their groups within those communities. And then those people are going to go and start to explore NFTs and understand them more from there. I'm excited to see any derivative projects that come off of this as well. The pigeon that you did yesterday with the apparel line.
Yes.
I went immediately and looked. I was like, oh, do I have the right pigeon? And I didn't.
I know there's two pigeons in the collection.
I hope you're doing that more. And I'm excited. You know, I believed in the project. I degened myself. I bought about 10 of the regular access tokens. I bought a couple special ones. And right now I'm holding the courtside cat, which is, you know, the three games at Madison Square Garden, you know, 3 years in a row.
I fully expect you to hodl at least one so we can have a nice time at the game. But then
I'm planning on this year, we're going to do it. We're going to show everybody how awesome it is. And then you and I are both going to make some money off of that one, buddy.
And what he means by that is he then resells it. I've got a 9% royalty because I'm donating 1% of all secondary royalties to charity. Jimmy, what have you heard from, have you yet heard from big intellectual property or other people with large audiences since, and has what I dreamed happened or not happened, which was my hope, and you know this, was to create a blueprint that other brands and individuals could look at and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not just gonna do an image. I gotta do more. I gotta create more value for my community. Has that happened yet?
It's starting to happen for sure. We haven't done any PR or press or anything around this at all on our end. It's really just been from your promotion and people who actually are looking at that nameless name on the website and looking deeper and finding out how to find me. Yes, it's happening. And as you know, you're an investor of ours as well. You know, we're engaged with some really awesome brands and exploring some opportunities in the NFT space. So I'm extremely excited about what's coming. I'm actually a little bit scared because there's so much coming and we're still a small team that's growing very quickly. So we're trying to build a platform. And right now we're having to do these one-offs as we're learning what that platform is. Your project, God, we learned so much, Gary. And it's going to make every project we do in the future so much better. It's just an amazing starting point for the Nameless brand, really. And I can't express enough gratitude for your faith and our ability to pull it off and hanging with us and making that week delay was a little rough for everybody, but we made it through. Retrospective, there's lessons learned, but we made it through. And this is, you know, for the long term. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
What is the temperature of the NFT collector community that you're a big part of? What about yesterday? Were people, you know, freaked out, excited? Like, I bought a bunch of Ethereum yesterday. I was happy. Even though I was losing a lot with what I was sitting on from the project, I was excited and kind of took advantage of it. When I believe in something, I believe in something.
Yeah, I did a tweet late last night that said, you know, I'm like 99% NFTs, so I wasn't impacted by the drop.
Right, because you're not sitting on the ETH, you're sitting on the assets from it.
And those can readjust.
Yeah, I was talking to everybody in Discord. I'm like, you know, because right before ETH was hot, before my project, everyone was like, don't buy ETH, friends. It's going to be 10,000. And I went in there, I'm like, what about now? You're still going to get 3 years of VCon, same way. And it's in half. Like, you know, that's just part of the game.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about NFTs and investing and stuff here is that it can work both ways. Like right now, CryptoPunks are like half of what they were. They'll eventually like find their way back up to where they were before or maybe even higher. But the price of the asset can then be adjusted in Ethereum to reflect the dollar value. And you're not actually just stuck holding a fixed amount of the Ethereum when it drops to whatever it drops to. So it's like 4D investing strategies and things like that, but it can work out really well and it can work out the other way. But I think the temperature is that people, look, everybody's been, we went through these crypto winters the last couple of years.
ICO winter was cold.
Yeah, I mean, we spent 2 years just like collecting NFTs when no one thought this stuff was going to do anything. I mean, gas was like one or two, right? It was 260 ETH when we deployed tokens.
Since I'm losing you in a second.
Yep, sorry.
I'm sorry. Any project that's really inexpensive that you like to, you know, not like an official investment advice, but I know a lot of people are trying to get into something. Anything captured? I know this is a tough spot. Maybe there is anything, which is fine.
No, there is. And I just, you know.
You haven't bought enough yet?
I never succeed. No, I've bought way too much. I never succeed in just shelling my own project. Avastars is still the best deal in the town. It's 0.07 ETH to buy a common Avastar. And so completely on-chain.
How many Avastars did you make?
There's going to be 25,000 total. There's about 4,500 left. You go to avastars.io, you buy one. It's on chain forever. It's the first fully on-chain project. So
what's the US dollar version now?
I don't know. I guess it would be 120
ETH
bucks.
ETH is 27.50 right now.
Yeah, my guess is like 120, 150 bucks, unfortunately. I mean, sorry about that. We fixed the price to 0.07 Ethereum a year ago. Some people got these for like 15 bucks. But you can go on the second market open, see if you can find one cheap. You really can't. So, you know, that's the 0.07 ETH.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Take care. Talk soon, Gary.
So, Gary, we wanted to close out this episode and just give you a chance to riff a little bit about VFriends and NFTs, but also welcome some questions from our audience and, you know, just kind of round out all the conversations that we've already had.
Team, if you could put the Discord URL while I'm talking, that would be my first piece of advice. I've been blown away by VFriends Discord. It's also linked to my Instagram right now. That would be the first thing I would say, Andrea. And I've said it, as you know, I've said this to the leaders of our company, like the community itself is educating in a way. I'm in there constantly. Andy, Jimmy's in there a ton. So first and foremost, education, education, education. The reason I asked, you know, Jimmy about an inexpensive one, and he's right. His project Avastars is very underpriced in my opinion as well. And obviously I love him, but I think that this is a game of education. Like if you're picking up on what these 2 hours were putting down, it's very clear that a lot of people that have historical success of being right about things that haven't seemed obvious, you know, are sitting here saying, hey, you know, I always laugh. Like my one buddy reached out and said, gave me a whole manifesto of why NFTs is not gonna happen. And I asked him where he got this from. He said, this guy at work. And I said, brother, you've known me my whole life. You've watched everything I've talked about happen in a way that nobody thought would happen. You've got people like Mark Cuban talking about, you know, your fucking buddy from work. People are built on fear.
That's right.
And so end on greed. Fear and greed is what I'm most worried about right now. Fear, because people are like, this is just a fad, it's bullshit, and they never put the 50 hours of homework, they don't Jordan 6 discords, they don't learn, and they never get there, right?
Yeah, they're looking for reasons to dismiss it, right?
Greed, because greed makes bad decisions, right? Somebody in our Discord listed their fee friend on OpenSea, and the person tricked them and offered them 25 cents, not 25 Ethereum. And they sold it. So they bought something for 9,000 and sold it for 25 cents. And the community in Discord and my team and me myself are like, damn it, and feel bad. But I'd be lying if I didn't say, that's a greed move. You don't buy something for 3 Ethereum and sell it for 25 in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Or 7 or 9, whatever it was. You know, greed and lack of education will get you into trouble. And so greed and fear are the two things that I'm trying to really get people in. So discord.com/invite/befriends, you know, or to make it much easier, go to my URL in my Instagram right now. As far as befriends, look, VCon's amazing. Going to a basketball game with me or being part of a FaceTime or a hangout on Hangout Hawks. Like there's a lot of cool stuff, but all of that is wildly secondary. Even the 3 years of VCon, vcon.co, VEECON.co. Even that is just a short term. I'm looking to build out this intellectual property and really make this digital asset something that's worth having. And so obviously you know me very well. You know, I'm very passionate about good behavior in human beings. And I also, you also know that I'm self-aware, which means I know not everyone is gonna pick up what Gary Vee is putting down. I'm too much, I'm too aggressive. My conviction and excitement comes across to some people, luckily a smaller amount than the other way, but not good, or I'm this or I'm that. Because I am competitive and I am alpha, and I know that turns some people off. The fact that I now have accountable ant, you know, this is real for me, that I have patient panda, that I have offense-oriented orangutan, that, you know, that I have focused falcon, you know, that I have humble hedgehog. Like the fact that I have this universe now, I think I'm going into a very interesting part of my career where I'm going to be able to make an impact around kindness and empathy and all these things, and really make a difference through the character development. And whether it's cartoons or stuffed animals or collectible desk toys or comic books or, you know, ice capade shows or a zoo or who the hell, but I'm going to pull this off just like everything else I said that everybody said I wouldn't. And I'm excited about having my early community be part of that journey.
So one thing that didn't come up today was we didn't hear any rants about sustainability or any of those kind of things. Any perspective there?
I think it's because there's a million things in the world that are, you know, this is not great for the environment, right? Like, I think that I am so impressed with the overall community on even Ethereum itself, which has one of the bigger vulnerabilities because is switching and the evolution of proof of work to proof of stake. I think the reason, and there's plenty of articles, but the reason it's not like overwhelming everybody is almost nobody's saying, go fuck yourself, right? Everyone's saying, you're right, let's do something about this. And blockchains are being built that are good. Ethereum's level 2 is being built on that. So like, I think that it's because most humans, my big thing with all issues is why not? Why not make it great for the environment if you can as quickly as possible? Why not be nice to your fellow man or woman? Like, why not? Why not? Why not? You can have both. You can be successful. You can be fulfilled. And you can be selfless and leave a legacy and do the right things. I think some people get caught into two extremes. Some people live in a world of scarcity, and so it's winner takes all, it's all this garbage. Other people live in an ideology. They're not practical. They want people to do things tomorrow that are not real to a lot of people without a lot of destruction. So it's about compassion, empathy, and lack of judgment. And I think that's like how I see that.
Gary, what's the conversation that you have with your parents? Are they surprised that you're doing this? And, you know, just would love to hear a little bit about that.
I went down to Miami to spend time with my parents this last weekend off the heels of the launch. They are as proud as parents can be. My parents are my parents. So like, by the way, think about how much better you know me compared to everybody who's watching this.
Yeah.
And what the actual delta is between Gary V and who, and like the small little, like I can't even begin to comprehend how big the gap is. I think it's actually quite extraordinarily large.
Yes.
Now imagine what my parents' gap is to you. They know everything. They've seen me completely live every day of my life. They know who I am. They know where my heart sits. So for me, you know, for my parents, it's kind of like, they're just, and don't forget where my parents come from. They were 22, 23 years old, came to America, had nothing to their name. Nothing, right? So like for them, it's a level of pride, a level of surreal, a level of like fun validation. They also know that their kid fought the system. You know, they know that their kid didn't conform to school, you know, and they know everything. They know everything. So, and I have an incredible relationship with my parents. They're only 20 years older than me, you know, and, you know, I'm 20 years older than people on my team and in my company, right? And you're 20 years older than some of the people in our company and your team. And it kind of feels like you're friends. Sure, you're maybe a little bit of a, you don't feel like a parent. You feel like an older, you know, I don't feel like because I'm 20 years older than people on my team, like their dad, I feel like their older wise friend. And in a weird way, my parents' close proximity and age with me allows for a very unique relationship. I've also been, incredibly unique in my relationship with my parents. You know, we have such a partnership through the years. So it's
great thing that you guys all learn from one another, and that's the same thing that we have at Vayner. We learn from everybody, right? And it's so beautiful to see what you've created. That's just celebrates exactly who you are as a human as well as an entrepreneur. Congratulations.
Thank you. I love everybody. Hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for this. We'll talk to you soon. Hope you enjoyed it. Please hit me up on Twitter with your thoughts on this episode of Marketing for the Now. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you, Gary. All right. And then our next show is going to be on June 17th at 12 p.m. We're going to mix things up a little bit this summer. So please join us. We're going to hear from CEOs and founders as well as marketers. Check us out and check out past recordings on mftn.vaynerx.com. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you liked and how we can continue to grab your attention. Marketing for the Now at vaynerx.com. Thanks, everybody.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's amazing 5-star review reads, I've gained so much knowledge and awareness in self-awareness, entrepreneurship, social media, NFTs, crypto wallets, the Discord, and more. Thank you for educating me and forcing me to Google things I didn't know. I find myself discovering and learning a lot of new things because of this podcast. This old dog is learning some new tricks. Thank you for your dedication and love. Peace, love, and health to all. Thank you so much for that kind review. And to anybody listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.